Let's look at laboratory number 9. And what we're going to see here is we're going to see a number of simulators. You'll see there are 3 parts to the lab, and corresponding to each part in the laboratory, there's a corresponding part in the homework that you have to do. And what we have here in each of these parts is a simulation of a processor, of a computer. And you'll see each part adds a little more complexity. And we're going to show you how a typical computer executes instructions. So let's start by looking at laboratory number 1. And as it says here, this first part is called a simple CPU data path simulator. Okay, simple CPU data path simulator. So I'm going to open that up and wait for it to come up. And let's take a look and see what it has. All right, so here you see this picture of this simulator. And let's see what's here. Let's see if we can identify what's going on here. Now, this is not our complete computer. When we talked about the complete central processing unit, we had more parts than this. First of all, we don't see any memory here. We don't even see the control unit. I don't see a program counter. I don't see an instruction register. Those will be added later. Here, we're just looking at the register bank and the ALU, the arithmetic logic unit. You see the registers are up on top. The arithmetic logic unit is towards the bottom, the right bottom, and several buses. Buses to move data between the registers and the ALU. Now, in this simulator, we have 4 registers in the register bank. They're labeled R0, R1, R2, R3. And what they are capable of doing is storing values. Storing values. We can type in values. We can move values to them. You can store in values. Right now, you see everything has a 0, right? For example, if I click on the register labeled R0, I can change its value. I put in 100. I can click on register R1. I can change its value and put in 75, let's say. Okay? Now, you see to the right of those registers, there's 2 dials. One is labeled the A bus address, and the other one is labeled the B bus address. And there are 2 dials. On the dial, you see a little red arrow and 4 positions, R0, R1, R2, R3. Now, if you take your mouse and you left-clicked on that the dial, you see it moves clockwise. And what you can do is by clicking on that dial is you can specify which one of the registers is going to be read, meaning we're going to take the information stored in that register and put it out on the A bus. So if I have it pointing to R0, that means the value that is currently in R0, which in this case I made it 100, is going to go out onto the A bus. Okay? Now, similarly, there's a second bus, a B bus. And once again, there's a dial that can be rotated and moved to any one of the 4 registers. So if I have it rotated to R1, then the value stored in R1 will be read from the register and go out on the B bus. Where are the A and B bus going? Well, you see they're feeding the arithmetic logic unit. The A and B bus are the 2 inputs to the arithmetic logic unit. This arithmetic logic unit can operate on 2 values, one coming in on the A bus, one coming on the B bus, and this particular ALU can do 1 of 4 operations. Typical real ALU can do maybe hundreds of operations. But this one just does 4 operations. Which 4? The 4 operations are given by what you see on the dial. It says A plus B. And then it says the next one to the right of that. Anybody know what that mark is? That Scheffer stroke? That line straight down is known as the Scheffer stroke. And that's indicating a logical OR. It takes what's known as the OR between what's coming in on the A bus and the B bus. All the way in the bottom, you have this ampersand. That represents a logical operation, an AND. Does an A AND B? And then to the one more click, you see A minus B, meaning that would be a subtraction. It would take the value that's coming in on the A bus and subtract from it what's coming in on the B bus, and that would be what happens over here. So you can pick 1 of 4 operations. A value comes in on the A bus, a value comes in on the B bus, and then the ALU will do that particular operation. What I'm doing right now, I've put the 100 in the R0, I put the 75 in the R1, and I'm going to have R0 move on the A bus, I'll have R1 go on the B bus. How about if I do a subtraction, A minus B? Okay, so I click the arrow, the dial in the ALU to A minus B. The result is calculated in the ALU, and that result then goes out onto this C bus. Now, even before you go out on the C bus, you see there's a C register which will store the result. And notice beneath that, There's a couple of lines, zero, negative, unsigned, overflow. These are flags. If it turns out that the value of C, what is in that C register, is zero, then that zero line gets a little check. Currently it's zero. Because typically in the hardware of the ALU, there's something to detect zero. Similarly, if something is negative, then the next value would be checked. The next box would get checked as an indication that we have a negative value, and so on. The value calculated makes its way onto the C-bus. And then notice that the C-bus feeds back into the registers. And there's another dial for the C-bus address, so that you can select a destination of where to put the result that comes out of the ALU. And again, you can pick any register you want. How about if I make it to R3? So what I've done at this point, as we've spoken about what you see here, is I've set up an arithmetic operation, a subtraction. I'm going to have what? I'm going to have the value of R0, our minuend, and I'm going to subtract from that R1, subtrahend. All right? And I'll take the two values. It's fed through the ALU, and onto the C-bus comes the result of that operation known as the difference, right? The minuend take away the subtrahend gives us the difference. I'm going to place the result where? I've made that C-bus dial go to R3, and you'll see it go into R3. Now, how do we get this to execute? Oh, you see a couple of buttons. There's something labeled execute, something labeled pause. When I click on that button that's labeled execute, then the operation that I've programmed into here is going to actually take place. And one thing you can do is work with different speed. Notice it says animation speed. And notice there's a drop-down menu from slowest, medium, fast. Now, maybe the first time that I do this, I should do it at sort of a slow speed so that we can see what takes place. Okay? And then maybe other examples we'll do at a little faster speed. Any questions? So what I'm going to do is just make it go to slow for this first operation. There's another box beneath that that enables you to say whether you want to work with positive or negative numbers. That's the plus or minus 10. You can choose just 10, meaning just work with positive numbers, or 2, meaning you're working in base 2, binary. Okay, we're going to work with positive and negative numbers right here. Any questions before we hit the execute button and have this instruction executed? What you're going to see here is the value of register R0, and I'm going to subtract from that the value of R1. We're doing R0 minus R1, and the result ends up in R3. Any questions? I take the mouse, I go to the execute button, I left click. Look what happens. Now notice R0 and R1 are flashing because that's what I've chosen to go on the A and B bus. Now you see those red, the arrows are flashing because I'm reading those two values. Notice the value of R0 is on the A bus, the value of R1 is on the B bus, and they're now going to be entering the ALU into the A and B temporary locations. You see the 100, you see the 75, it goes through the ALU, you see the subtraction, I get 25, that's on C. It's now making its way onto the C bus, and it's on the C bus, and it's making its way back to the register bank. And you see, we're doing it at a slow pace. Slowly we're there. And now we're going to get into R3. And notice the result, the 25, is being stored into R3. And that concludes this demo. Any questions? We can just set up some other numbers. Suppose I change, instead of R0, R1, suppose I just reverse this. I make it R1 minus R0. And then I'll put the result into R2. Now, what's going to happen here? We should get a negative 25, right? So why don't I just do that as a demo? I now have changed so that the A bus will take the value of R1, the B bus will take the value of R0, and that should give us a result of negative 25. I'll put that into R2. I've moved the speed up to medium, so it'll go a little bit faster. I've hit the execute button, and watch how this goes. Now that you see the A bus has the value of 5, excuse me, the B bus has 100, we're getting into the ALU, and now watch that the C now gets a value of negative 25. That's going out onto the C bus, making its way back to the register bank, and you see the result, negative 25 in R2. Any questions on that? Now, that's the first part of the laboratory. If we go back to the lab, you'll see that, indeed, there's a similar example in the lab itself. They do it for addition. You're welcome to go through that example at your own And then when you get to the homework, you'll see there's a part one of the homework is based on this data path simulator. Any questions? Okay. We're going to go back to the lab and move to part two. And you'll see that each part adds a little more complexity to the operations of our simulator. Part two says the simple CPU data path simulator described the way in which a computer manipulates data that is already stored in registers. However, it does not show how data gets into the register in the first place, or how the results of an arithmetic operation get out of the CPU. And so now, let us meet the data path with memory simulator. And so let me open up that one. And let's see what we have here. Ah, we still have our data path. We still see the register bank. We still see the ALU. You still see those dials, same as before. But now, one part has been added. We've added memory. Okay? And in memory, we can place instructions. We can place data. So now, we're just going to put data. Okay? And you can go to these different places in memory. And in each of them also, you can put things in base 10. It should detect whether it's an instruction, whether it's a positive, negative. And I'll just put some values. I'll put, maybe 100 in location 0 in memory, and I'll put 75 in location 1. And let's see what we have here. Okay? Now, once again, you see the register banks. That's the same as before. You still have those four registers, R0 through R3. You still see those dials. You still see the ALU. No change over there. All right, well, what happened here? All of a sudden, you see the C bus, but now these C buses have something else here, little switches. You look at those buses, especially on the left-hand side, around the C bus, there are now four different arrows, and each of them seems to have switches, that if you click on them, those switches open and close. Okay? Now, one switch leads out of the ALU to the C bus, and that switch controls whether the output of the ALU will go on to the C bus. There's another switch from the C bus back to the register bank, and you can open and close that. And if that's closed, then whatever's in that C bus will head up to the registers. And then there are two switches for reading and writing from memory. All right, you see two switches that lead out of the C bus towards the main memory bus. There's one switch heading from the C bus to memory. If that is closed, then we will be doing a write to memory. Whatever's on the C bus will head to memory. And if the other one is closed, if the bus that heads from main memory to the C bus is closed, then we will be doing a read from memory. Whatever is in memory, whatever location we've selected, that value is going to go on to the C bus. So you can control the path, the flow of data. Are we going from memory into the registers? Are we going from the registers to memory? By opening and closing these switches, you can set up different data paths. We are, for this example, going to do it manually. And then in the next part, we're actually going to see how it's done automatically by the instructions. That's the job of the control unit. We shouldn't have to do that. Question? Got a question?
You can read, write, and display.
You can read from memory, write to memory.
Right. I'm just saying.
Excuse me.
All right, let's see.
Well, let's do an operation. All right, what should we do? I notice I put two values in memory. Why don't we first read out these two values? Let's say I want to add these two values. What's stored in location 0 and what's stored in 1, 175. Let's say I want to add them together, 175, and put the result into memory location 2 when we're finished. Now, we're going to do this manually. And, you know, really we want the computer to do it automatically. But for this example, for this part of the laboratory, we do this manually. So what do we have to do first? The first thing we're going to have to do is read that first value from memory. We're going to have a data path set up. Obviously, this happens automatically through the instruction, but we're going to show this manually, where we're going to have to read the location 0 from memory and bring it out into the register bank and put it into one of the registers of the register bank. Pick one. Oh, why don't we put it into, just to show you, let's put it into R2. All right, we'll put it into R2. Okay? How do we do that? So I need the path. What I have to do is create a path, a proper path to do that. So as far as memory is concerned, you notice on the right-hand side of our main memory, there is this, this is called a radio button, which can click on and select one of the memory locations for reading or writing. I activate the radio button for location 0. Now I'm going to be doing a read from memory. So what I want to do is close the switch that will take whatever comes out from the memory bus and put it onto the C bus. So I've closed that one. I also want to close the switch from the C bus up to the register bank. And then I've decided I'm going to put it into R2, so notice the dial on the C bus address goes to R2. Now, as far as the other switches, I have to open them. I have to open the switch that goes back to memory, and I also have to open the switch from the ALU to the C bus, because where is the value of the C bus coming from? Memory, not from the ALU. Notice that the C bus, there are two choices where to get its value from, either the ALU or memory. In this case, I want it from memory. Now, the ALU is going to do whatever it does, but it doesn't matter, because whatever result we get out of the ALU at this point, it's an addition, it's not going to go anywhere. It's stuck in the ALU. So what we've set up is the first operation of reading memory, location 0, which currently has a 100, and putting it into register R2. Ready? I go to the execute button, and I click. I'm leaving it at medium speed, so I'll talk fast. All right? Let's see what gets activated. Notice R0 clicking is memory location 0 is clicking. The 100 is going to be read out. And that is going to be read out. It takes it at the speed of whatever memory works. And then, as it comes down here, you notice it makes its way onto the memory bus. And it's now going to go onto the C bus. And on the C bus, it's being directed up to the register bank. And then it makes its way into R2. And the execution of the instruction has been completed. We've read location 0 from memory. Its value, the 100, has made its way to R2. Any questions? That's one instruction. That's a cycle. That would be a fetch, interpret, execute. Now we've got to do the next instruction. I have to read what? The next operand, the next value. The value that is stored in location 1. So notice the signals that would have to get generated. I do them manually. As far as memory is concerned, I have to activate memory location 1. So the radio button for memory location 1, I activated that. As far as the switches, I'm going to leave them the same, because once again, I'm going to be reading from memory. I'm reading from memory, and it's going to go up to the register bank. But let me pick another register. Oh, how about if this goes to R3? Okay, it's going to put it in R3. Ready? I hit execute. And again, you see memory location 75 is being activated. Excuse me, memory location 1, which has a 75, is activated. What's taking place on the ALU is meaningless, because the output of the ALU is not going anywhere. That switch is open. The 75 comes onto the main memory bus, going to make its way onto the C bus, move up towards the register bank, and it's being directed where? Into R3. The 75 has arrived. Our two operands are now in the register bank within R2 and R3, okay? Let's do an addition. Now I have to set up an addition. All right, this is the third instruction to take. No, notice, it takes several instructions. All right, now what do I want to do? The A bus, say, I'll take out of R2. The B bus, I'll take out of R3. I will feed those two values, R2 and R3, into the ALU. I want to do an addition. So the ALU dial, I leave at addition, A plus B. I want to take the sum of these two values, the sum of the two operands. Anybody know the name of the two operands? I told you minuend and subtrahend for subtraction. Anybody have any idea what the name of the two operands for addition is? Very few people remember that. What? Sum is the result. Everybody knows sum, but what's the name of the operands? Minuend and subtrahend, sometimes people remember usually. But augend and addend, nobody remembers. All right, augend and addend, those are the names of the two operands. All right, augend, word like augmentation. Addend, related to addendum. Okay, an addendum, yeah. If anybody really wants to know, when you have a document and you append at the end of it an addendum, if you get a really good dictionary, what do you append an addendum to? An organdum. That's what the first part of the document is called. You need a good dictionary. Go get yourself a good college dictionary and you'll see that word. An addendum is appended to an organdum. And same is true with these two operands. It's an organd and an addend giving you a sum. We want to set up so that the output of the ALU gets its way onto the C-bus. So notice I have to close the switch that's going to take the output of the ALU and put it on the C-bus. I open the switch that led from memory to the C-bus. So now I've set up so that the addition that takes place in the ALU makes its way to the C-bus. And what do I want to do? I'm going to put it into one of the registers at this point. Oh, let's say I'll put it into R0. So the C-bus address I put to R0. Okay? Are we ready? And what I do now is execute. Notice R2 and R3 are active. Memory gets active, but it's not going to go anywhere. R2 and R3 are being fed into the ALU, the 100 and the 75. They make their way into the ALU, and they're now going to be added. And you see the 175, the sum is at the C part, making its way onto the C bus, making its way now on the C bus up to the register bank, and being directed into R0, which has the 175. Any questions? I want to do one more step, and that's store. I want to take this 175 and store it to memory. Let's pick a location, any location. I'll put it in memory location 5. I've activated that. How should I do a store? Tell me. You'll have to do this as part of your homework. How should I set up the dials so that I can store this result into memory? I want to store the 175 into memory. How should I do that? How should I? What? All right, the C bus should go out to main memory, right? That, okay, you're right. As far as the C bus, I now activate, I close the switch that takes what's on the C bus and sends it to main memory, and I'll open up the one that goes back to the registers. Good? So whatever's going to get onto the C bus will now head to memory. Very good. Which means I have to get that 175 onto the C bus. So you've done the first part of it. Now, how do I get the 175 to the C bus? Now, the only way to get it to the C-bus is through what? How do I get it to the C-bus? With these arrows, the only way to get it to the C-bus is what? What?
From the ALU.
From the ALU. That's correct. That's correct. That's what I... Right. It has to get out of the ALU. So how do I get a 175? How do I get the value of R0 to the ALU? Yes?
Put both A and B to 0 and
add. You want the... Put what?
Put A and B to 0 and add.
Put A and B to 0 and add? What do you mean A and B to 0?
Oh, no. I was thinking to R0.
You want me to put the A bus address to R0, the B bus address. You want both A bus and the B bus to be R0, and then, but you said add. See, that won't do it. You're on the right track. That won't do it. Because what will I get? I won't get R0. I'll get 2 times R0, right? So you're on the right track, but now what? So then somebody else is going to come up with a solution. What? A and what? And B?
Yeah.
All right, will A and B work? And the answer is, I'll try it. It's either A and B or A or B. Or either one. Or either one. Maybe it's either one. It's either one. Okay, it turns out to be either one. Yeah. It turns out to be, because you're taking the register and anding it or oring it with itself, which means if you take the value, obviously it's binary, and it's the same, you're taking the same value and either anding it and oring it with itself, you get the same value. Because an and, 2 ones gives you a 1, 2 zeros gives you a 0. And it's impossible, since you're taking the same value and either oring it or anding it with itself, oring, 2 ones gives you a 1, 2 zeros gives you a 0. So since you're taking the same value and either anding it or oring it with itself, you do get the same value, and that's exactly what you have to do. Now, I was waiting for somebody to suggest, hey, wait a minute, if I do R0 plus R1, I'll get 175. I currently have a 0 in R1, right? I was waiting for somebody to suggest that. Then all I would do is click on R1 and say, what if I don't have a 0? Suppose I had a 1 there. Okay? Anything but 0. All right. So your suggestion of the and or is correct. All right. We have it. You said and. Let's see if that works. I'll hit execute. Let's see what happens. It's getting R0. R0 is being fed both into the A bus and B bus into the ALU. And obviously, I need an operation that will not change the value, that will let it go through. And either one at this point will work. because it's the same value, and you have the same ones and zeros, and it goes through. You notice 175 has made it to the C bus. It's being directed to main memory, and it takes a little longer because it's memory. They're actually the simulator. It's slower going to memory than the registers, and that's like the real world. The registers are much faster, and indeed, slowly but surely, it's making its way to main memory. I've activated location 5 in main memory, and there you see the 175 being stored. Any questions? Questions?
I'm confused about what that last one is. A and B?
And A or B? Okay, this has to do, it's a logical operation. You work with truth tables? You ever deal with truth tables? Anybody ever do truth tables and or some logic? Ands and ors, that's exactly what it means. But here what you're doing is you're taking the number and looking at its binary equivalent. We did a little bit about binary numbers, right? So I can take a number and I look at it as a string of ones and zeros. And then what I do is a bit by bit and or an or operation between the number and itself. When you do an and, so you take a look at one bit and the other bit. If both of them are ones, one and one is a one. One and anything else, 1 and 0 is 0, or 2 zeros gives you a 0. In order to get a 1 out of an AND operation, both operands, both numbers have to be 1s. Okay? An OR, as long as either of the operands is a 1, 1 or 1 is a 1, 1 or 0 is a 1, 0 or 1 is a 1. The only time you get a 0 is 0 or 0. Okay? That's OR, that's AND. But if you're taking a number and ANDing it, or ORing it with itself, so at any position, you either have two ones or two zeros, so it gives you the same value, so it worked. Okay? And that's indeed how I have to do the store in this particular simulator. In a real computer, it just goes straight to memory. You don't have to go through the ALU, but in this simulator, that's how I had to do it. Any questions? That's part, yes? Your question was, no matter how big memory is, if I only have one register. What do you mean, one register? Yes. Well, you only do one operation at a time anyhow, okay? I don't want to get into parallel computing and what that means, but if you have only one processor, there are also machines with dual processors and quad processors, but we won't get into what that means. But as far as a single processor is concerned, you only do one instruction at a time, one operation at a time. Yes. You do one operation at a time. You finish that when you go on to the next one. Yes, there are dual processor machines, but again, I said I don't want to touch that over here. Enough for us to understand how the basic machine works. Yes, one at a time. Yes.
Why wouldn't it just work to get the 175 into main memory?
Which operation should we do?
A plus B.
A plus, what happens, if what value do we want to feed on the A bus and B bus? Remember, it's feeding two values. You want to feed the R0 on both of them, and then you A plus B, you'll end up with 2 times R0, not R0, you'll end up with 350.
No, I got
175,
just the
R2. How did you set up the dials? A bus R2?
B bus R3.
Okay. You're putting it directly into memory. You're putting the sum directly into memory instead of going back to R. So you're saying R2 plus R3, putting it directly. Yeah, you can do that. In other words, watch. I'll do R2 plus R3. I'll do an addition, and I'll direct it to memory, and I'll have it go to location 10. Yes, but that wasn't what I illustrated. What I wanted to illustrate is how you go directly from a register to memory. Yes, what I'm illustrating now is I'm taking the sum, and instead of putting it into a register, I can go directly to memory. Indeed, you see R2 and R3 are being added right now. They go into the ALU. You're getting the 175, and indeed, I'm directing it towards memory now. The C bus is heading out towards memory, and indeed, you will see the 175 go. That wasn't the question before. Having directed it to R3, having directed it to R0, now how do I get it to memory? Different question. Yes, I did get the 175, and you'll see it's going to end up very shortly in memory location 10. Absolutely correct. What you said was absolutely correct. If I was doing R2 plus R3 and putting the sum directly into memory, exactly what you said is correct. But what I did was put it into back into the register. Now I wanted to store that register location. So how could I do it? And the reason I showed it to you like that, because in the simulator that you're going to see, it's not going to allow the instruction you envisioned of taking two registers and adding and putting them directly into register into memory. It's going to only allow the storing by taking the value of a register and putting it into memory. So now you're stuck with what the machine can do. You can't make up new instructions. Okay. Any questions? Any other questions? Yeah. Can I have the CBUS back to the register bank and back to memory? In this simulator, yes. All I have to do is close both switches and it would work. All right? Not sure you can do that in the real world. Depends on your processor. I didn't do it here. I directed it to one place so that we can illustrate just doing one thing at a time. But in this example, if I happen to close both the switch that's heading to memory and going back to the register bank, it would go in both directions. All right? It's a matter of what the simulator does. Okay. Back to lab number 9, and indeed in part 2, they have another example. I just made up an example on the fly. You can go through the example that's given to you in laboratory 9, or you can make up your own example. As you see, they're not too hard to make up, and you can go and follow that. Let us move to part 3, the final part of this simulation. So notice we started with what? Registers and an ALU. We then added memory. And now let's look at part 3. Okay, and as it says in part 3, in the previous example, the user had to control the flow of information by clicking knobs. We had to do it. The key idea behind a stored program computer is that these kinds of tasks can be represented as instructions and stored in main memory along with the data. The control unit can fetch the instruction from the main memory and carry out the tasks. So what we're now going to do is look at one final simulator, the stored program computer simulator. So I click on it, and here it is. Okay? 1 minute, I wanted to bring it up in a different... Let me click on it, bring it up just in a different tab. All right, here it is. You see the register bank. You see main memory. It's been moved to the lower left. And one more part has been added, a control unit. A control unit. The data path, the main memory, same as before. The control unit, what has been added, let's take a look. First of all, you'll see there are those two special purpose registers we spoke about. There's one labeled PC, program counter. That will have the address of the next instruction. And then there's another special register, the instruction register, IR. When the instruction gets fetched, it's put into that register. Excuse me. There's another box there called instruction interpretation. That is the decoding place, the interpretation place. After it is fetched, the instruction gets interpreted. Add, store. And then up on top, you see knob and switch settings. And that is the control unit, having interpreted the instruction, will send out signals so that those switches and the knobs all get set up, whether you're doing an addition, a subtraction, whatever it is that you're trying to do. Right, it'll automatically be opening and closing those switches. Any questions? All right. Now, back to lab 9, because in our computer, we have to know what instructions are capable. Now, this is a small computer. Right? A small computer that only has a few instructions. Matter of fact, there are only 6 types of instructions in this computer. On laboratory 9, they show you the list of instructions. It tells you where it comes from. There are 6 instructions. There's an add, there's a subtract, there's a load, store, copy, halt. 6 instructions that you can do. The first instruction is add. And what is it an add of? You can add the contents of 2 registers. Notice that the add instruction itself, the first sequence of bits, 101, 0000100, that part of the instruction is what tells you that this is an add. Following that, there are going to be 6 more bits. And those 6 bits will allow you to choose 3 registers. 3 registers. Now remember our register bank, there are 4 registers, R0, R1, R2, R3. Each of those 3, which says RR, you can put 2 bits. 00 represents 0, 01 represents 1, 10 represents 2, 11 is 3. So you can pick any of those 3 registers. The last 2 RRs are the operands, the source of the two values that are going to be added together. It could be R0 and R1. It could be R2 and R3. It could be R3 with itself, R0 with itself. You can write R0 twice. And then the first RR is the destination. Notice it says, add contents of the last two registers and store the result in the first. So the last two registers are the augend and the addend, and then the first one is the result. You can go to R0 plus R1 to R2. Or you can go R0 plus R0 and put it back into R0. That doubles R0. There's a subtract. What does the subtract do? It's going to subtract the value of one register from another and put the result in a register. That's the only subtraction you can do here. You can't go directly to memory. It's not allowed in this particular set of instructions. And again, you have the subtract operation. Notice that the first sequence of bits, 101, 001, 000, that's different than the add, and that will be interpreted as the subtract. And again, there are three operands, three registers. And it says, subtract contents of the third register from the second, store the result in the first. Meaning, the second set RR, that's your minuend. The third one, RR, that's your subtrahend. And the difference goes in the first RR. Notice I didn't have to say first value, second value. By using minuend, subtrahend, I could be more precise. Okay, and you have to know what it means. So learn the words. There's nothing wrong with it. All right? So the second set of RR, that's the minuend. Third set is the subtrahend, and the difference goes into the first. That's your destination of the result. Memory, there are only two instructions that work with memory. Load and store. Read and write. Load is like reading. You can read a location from memory, put it into a register. That's all you can do as far as taking a value out of memory. You can't add it directly. This machine doesn't allow it. You can make up more instructions. You know, someone asked before, can't I just add and put it right into memory? Well, maybe the data path allows it, but the implemented instruction doesn't allow it. Okay? The load, notice again, the first sequence of bits tells us what to load. That's a load. You see 10, all those 10s and a 1, that's a load. And there are only two operands, a register and then 4 bits for the memory, 4 bits for memory. Why? Because our particular simulator, there are 16 different locations in memory. Oh, even more, I'm sorry. There are 32 locations in memory here, 0 through 31. Did I count wrong? Yeah, it's 5 bits, 5 bits. There are 32 locations in memory. And with 5 bits, starting from all zeros and going to all ones, that's binary 0 through 31. So you pick one of 32 locations. A load reads memory. It takes the value of memory and puts it into whichever register, any one of the 4 registers that you selected. You see the RR. Store is the write. It takes what's stored in the specified register, the RR, and writes it to a location in memory. Any questions? And then there's two other instructions. There's a copy. You can copy the value of one register to another. You see the copy instruction. You see the bit sequence that indicates copy. And there are two operands, the source register and the destination register. It copies the value from the second specified register to the first. And then the final instruction is hold. Any questions? Now, the whole idea is to be able to write the instructions and you don't have to set the dials manually. So let's take an example. Let's do this by example. And the example that we're going to run is the one given you in Laboratory 9. It says, load the following program into memory. And notice it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like you have, how many lines of binary do we have here? I have 6 lines. Now, it turns out not everything is instruction. Some of it could be data. Now, they're telling you what's going on here. They're telling you what the instructions are. But you know, if you see it says, load memory location 5 into R0. Load memory location 6 into R1. The first two instructions are loads. How do you know they're loads? Because if you look at the bit sequence and match them up to the instruction set that you see above that, you'll see it says 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, so on. That matches up to load. So you know it's a load instruction. If you have to interpret, you know it's a load. And then you go to the operands, and you'll see that in binary, it's taking from memory location 5 and putting it into register R0. The last 5 bits are 00101. That's binary 5. And then the 2 bits before that is 00. That's register 0. The next instruction is going to load memory location 6 into R1. Again, it's a load instruction, but they're two different operands. The last 5 bits are 00110. That's binary 6. It's going to read from memory location 6 And then the two bits in front of that are 0, 1. It's going to load register 1. And so you notice, you look at this, and you can interpret the bit sequences into the instructions. And what is this doing? It's loading memory location 5 into R0, loading memory location R6 into R1. It's then going to do an add of R0 and R1 and put the result into R2, and then put the result that's in R2 back into location 7, and then halt. Now, match up the bit sequences to the instructions. And you'll see that's what it's doing. But we're going to run the simulator. How are we going to run the simulator? I'm going to copy these instructions. You can copy them manually. I'll use the old cut and paste here. Notice what I'm doing. I'm taking my mouse, highlighting, copy. You can right-click copy. I do Control-C. It's easier for me. You can do it with a right-click. And then I go to the simulator. And I'm going to take the first instruction, and I'm going to put it into, first of all, I'm going to make it an instruction. You notice that I went to memory and view as instruction. And then I change that where it said no op, and I copy my bit stream there. That is now an instruction. Ones and zeros to be interpreted not as a binary number, it should be interpreted as an instruction. Okay? And then I'm going to have several instructions, so I'm going to change them to instructions. Okay? Oops, I'm sorry. I think I have to do this as binary, actually. All right, my mistake. Binary. Instruction will be for the next example. So when you view as, it should be binary. Make it all binary in this case. Binary, binary, binary. Binary. And what I do with a cut and paste is I'm going to take each one of those strings of ones and zeros, and I'm copying, and I'm pasting them into consecutive locations in memory. Okay, so you'll bear with me. Control-C. And it's all binary for now. And we're up to the fourth instruction. Control-C. And I'm putting it in. Binary. Control-V. And the fifth instruction, which is the halt. And I put that into memory location 4. And now, what is this? What's this? What's this in this after the halt? Notice that load location 5 into R0, load location 6 into R1, add R0 and R1, put into R2, store it into location 7, halt. So what's this? What's the next string of ones and zeros? What's that? That's going to be my data. And what you see is this is going to be location 5, which is the first location that's going to be read, and it happens to have a binary 1001, which you remember when we spoke about binary, that's a 9. So that's actually going to be a value of 9. And then the final value, which you see in location, it's going to go into location 6, is a binary 1. So it's going to be adding a 1. And that's over here in location 6. Control. So it's actually doing 9 plus 1, which would equal 10. And it's going to put it into location 7. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. So notice I made everything viewed as binary. I have instructions. How do I run the simulator? So how does the computer run? I put my instructions and the data. Everything is in memory. That's the stored program concept. You notice the instructions are in memory. The data, location 5, location 6, that's the data that's in memory. How do you run? So I have to tell the control unit where to start from. I have to give it the location of the first instruction. That has to go into the program counter. So I go to the control unit, and what value should I put into the control count, program counter? Where's the first instruction? Where in memory? Where? Zero. So I need a zero there. So I got to get a zero there. So notice I hit the reset button to put the zero there. And now we are ready. We have put the instructions into memory. We have put the data into memory. We've told the control unit where to start executing from. All right, you can leave all the dials and switches any which way you want. All right, I'm just changing them randomly all over the place, because what we're going to see is that the control unit is going to send out the signal to open and close things as necessary. Now remember what the instructions are. We're going to be loading the value of location 5 into R0, loading the value of location 6 into R1, adding the two, putting the result into R2, storing R2 into memory location 7, and halting. And as I hit execute, I'm leaving it at medium speed. You'll see all the dials, all the switches closing as each instruction gets fetched, put into the instruction register, interpreted, and then the signals are sent out what to open, what to close. Ready? I will try to narrate as best I can as we execute. I move the mouse to the execute button, and I hit execute. And the first thing you see is the program counter is flashing, meaning I need instruction from location 0. It's reading location 0, goes into the IR. It's going to be interpreted. Notice that the program counter is going to get incremented to 1. The interpretation, it knows it's a load. It's going to set up the switches. Watch the switches. They've closed. It's closed so that it does a read operation. It's moving to memory location 5. You notice the switches are set up to read from memory and head into the register bank. Notice the dial of the C bus went to R0. So the value that the 9 comes out of location 5 makes its way to the C bus. Moves up the C bus into the register bank, has made its way to location to register R0. The 9 is there. We are now doing the next instruction. It says the PC is 1. It has to go and fetch the next instruction. It has come out into the IR. We will see the PC go to 2. We are interpreting the next instruction. Remember, that is a load from memory location 6. So indeed, you notice location 6 is flashing in memory. That is going to come out. That's a 1. You notice that the dials and the switches have now been set up. The switches are the same, but the dial of the C bus is now pointing to R1. The 1 has been read from location 6. It's making its way up on the C bus now. It's heading to the register bank, and it has arrived at R1, second instruction finished. We now go to program counter flashing, next instruction location 2. Remember, this is going to be an add. It is fetched. It has made its way to the instruction register. It is being interpreted. Program counter gets updated. The interpretation is now going to change the switches. Watch as the addition gets set up. Notice the ALU has moved to addition. The A and B bus is R0 and R1. The C bus, the ALU now feeds the C bus, and the result will go to R2. Trying to keep pace. Try to do this if I put it on fast. I find that if I put it on slow, it takes too long. All right, the addition has taken place. 9 plus 1 is 10. We're up to the C bus, and it's making its way to R2. And indeed, the 10 has arrived at R2. Next instruction from location 3 in memory. We're fetching it. Remember what that is? It's a store. We're going to be storing into memory location 7. Let's see. Here comes the instruction. Watch how the buses get set up. It's been interpreted to be a store. We're taking R2. Notice R2 is fed both on the A bus and the B bus. And which operation? The OR, not the AND. All right, could do the AND also. The OR is set up. And notice the output of the ALU will go out to memory. Indeed, the output of the ALU, which is the 10, is making its way to the C bus. And now it's going to be directed to memory. And indeed, as it makes its way to memory, it's going to go to location number 7. And it will be shortly stored in location 7. Remember, memory is slower, takes more time. And there it is. So you see the 10 has made its way to location 7. We're not finished yet. We need the next instruction. So we go to location 4 in memory to fetch the next instruction. Notice that's the instruction of wall 1s, which we know is the halt. And you'll notice it comes up to the CPU, and it now halts. Any questions? So we executed those 5 instructions, and you notice how the control unit sent out the signals to set the dials, to set the switches, so that we read from memory, added, stored as appropriate. Any questions? Now, this wasn't binary. This wasn't binary. There's one final example in the lab, and that is the same set of instructions, except now, instead of using binary, let's use, we can call this assembly language. Looks like a programming language. Okay? And so instead of the binary, which is really the machine language, we can do it in assembly language. So I'm going to use copy and paste, and instead of using I can copy and paste these instructions. So instead of using the ones and the zeros, I will just copy and paste them as assembly instructions. Now, let's see if I can do a shortcut. Notice we didn't change the instructions yet that were in main memory on the simulator. I'm back at the simulator. I'm going to memory location 0, which when I put in the values in binary, I had to change the view as to 2, right? I just want to see if I click on that drop-down menu, and instead of binary, I'm going to now click on instruction. Look what it changed to. Load R05. That's the assembly language instruction that says take what's in location 5 and read it and put it into R0. Similarly, the next one. If from binary I do instructions, so notice, yes, you can copy and paste, but since I did it once already in binary, the simulator happens to work. I am now converting all of them to instructions. And those other two binary operands, I can just go to base 10 and put them as 9 and 1. I'll get rid of the location 7. I'll put a 0 back there again. And now I can reset the program counter back to 0. And I can execute, but just, shall we do it a little faster? Okay? Now, what you're going to see here is what we've done is in memory, I now have the assembly language instructions. They have to be assembled. What you're going to be seeing fed out of memory into the instruction register is binary. Because we're assuming that we've already done the assembling, put it into machine language, so out comes the binary. But at least you can write it in this assembly language. All right? I put it on fastest, so that we can do the demo loop. It's the same demo as before. The program counter has been reset to 0. Are you ready? I hit the execute, and the first instruction is to read the value from location 5. It's in there. Next is to read the value from location 6. It's in there. Next one is to add the two results, and it's getting there. It's in there. Next one we're up to is the store, and it's done that, and it was actually doing it faster than I was talking. We've already halted. That's because I put it on fastest. You can slow it down and look at it slower. Any questions? Anybody want to see it slower? I think at this point you can do it yourself. Okay, any questions? Now, that's the lab. I did some demos. I just made them up as we were talking. You can do lab number 9 and do the demos yourself, the ones that they indicate, or make up your own demos. As far as homework is concerned, let's just open that up for the moment. We go to homework number 9. And you'll see that homework number 9 consists of 3 parts. The first part deals with the first demo we saw in the lab, the data path simulator, and it asks you to answer 3 questions, set it up a certain way, and see how to do things. The second part of the homework deals with data path with memory, and the third part deals with the stored program computer simulator. There are 3 questions in each part, and you must answer the questions in each part. Any questions? All right, that ends our intro to lab homework number 9.